Overlook, where the land quickly changed from rich green to almost barren brown, was the dreaded thing called the Shadow Gate. It did not stand out, but I felt its call. I told my companions, "We have to be careful not to get in a hurry now. Haste could be deadly." The Shadow Gate was not just the only way we could get up onto the plain to go free the captured. It was also the only portal through which the shadows imprisoned up there could escape and begin treating the whole world the way their cousins had the destitute of Taglios. And that gate was in tender shape. The Shadow Masters had endured and weakened it badly when gaining access to the shadows they enslaved.
"We're in complete agreement on that," Uncle Doge replied. "All the lore emphasizes the need for caution."
There had been some disagreement between us lately. He had resumed his romance with the idea of the company analyst becoming his understudy in the peculiar role he played among the Nuang Bo. The company analyst, who had no great interest in the job, but Doge was one of those people who just have grave difficulties getting their minds around the concept. "No." "That's new," I said, indicating a small structure a quarter mile below the Shadow Gate beside the road. "And I don't like its looks." It was hard to tell from so far, but the structure looked like a small fortification built of stones salvaged from the rubble of Overlook. Doge grunted.
"A potential complication,"
Swan observed.
"We keep standing around looking like spies. Somebody's going to get unpleasant with us."
A point not without substance, although those in charge seemed awfully lax. It was obvious that trouble had not visited in a while. Quite probably not since the Black Company left. Somebody, probably named me, because I'm the only one here who looks like what she says she is, will have to go scout around. The original plan had been for everybody to camp in the barrens not far downhill from where that new structure now stood. I was troubled. Someone should have been watching for us to come out of the mountains. I hoped that was just Sara's oversight. She had been married to the company for an age, but never did learn to think like a soldier. If nobody offered good advice, or she chose to ignore the advice she was given because, like many civilians, she could not grasp why all the little horse-pucky things have to be done, she might not have thought it important to watch for us. I prayed it was as simple as that. Nobody demanded that I give them the role of scout. Poor me. More sore feet, while the rest of them loafed around in the shade of young pines. The White Crow materialized minutes after I turned the knee of a hill, and the others were out of sight. It swooped at me and squawked. It swooped at me again. I tried to swat it like it was some huge, really annoying bug. It laughed and came back, now squawking what sounded like words. I got it. Finally. The bird wanted me to follow it. "Lead on, fell harbinger, never forgetting that I'm not Goonie, and therefore hobbled by no holy ban against eating meat." I had enjoyed, if that is the proper word, crow stew several times during the lowest lows of my military career. The crow had only my interests at heart. It led me straight to a large tent village on a hillside overlooking the near outskirts of the new town. Our people had to be only some of the refugees housed there, but Sara's